Well, God bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm with the 23rd of May, 2018. It's 4 o'clock here, and it's a wonderful day, beautiful weather we've been having, and we've been able to get out and about and enjoy the scenery around us and the people around us, been able to share the Word of God, and it's just been great and just delighted to do the will of God and what He puts in our hearts to do. Before I get into my teaching, there is a couple of scriptures I want to read to you that will bless you. And it says in Psalms 37, verse 4, it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." So when we delight in God, He really will give us the desires of our heart. He wants to give you the desires of your heart, but He wants to be first. He wants to be first love. He wants to be first in your life. He wants to give you all the best things that are in this world and from His Word and what He's made available to us through Christ. And He wants us to be lights in this world. He wants us to declare His Word. He wants us to live joyfully, and He wants us to live peaceably, and He wants us to enjoy life. You know, Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it more and abundantly, and we want to start to manifest these wonderful promises and the desires of God's heart for our life, then we need to keep God first. We need to look only to Him in every situation. In verse 35, it says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him." So you commit your way and you trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. It's not that we got to do anything to bring it to pass. Like, we just put God first, we make Him the first love of our life, we delight to do what He gives us to do, we delight in His Word, we delight in our fellowship with Him, we delight in our fellowship with one another, we delight to encourage people, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to people, to bring healing to people, to bring deliverance to people. And as we put Him first, and as we walk in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit of God, then He's going to bring all these things to pass for us. And He says, "And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light." See, God will do it. "And thy judgment as the noonday." And then it says, "Rest in the Lord." In other words, you know, relax in His grace. God doesn't want you to do anything from your own effort, from your own strength. If you're in a situation, you've been waiting for God in a situation and things don't seem like they're happening, God says, just rest. Just, you know, meditate with Him. Keep your thoughts set on above. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. So rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. See, the unbeliever might be prospering. The unbeliever might be doing all these things in this world. But see, if they haven't got God as the first love of their life, if they haven't got Jesus Christ as their Saviour, then the end result for them isn't good. The Word of God says, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" I mean, we are so blessed because not only do we have the gift of eternal life, but we have a relationship with the creators of the heaven and the earth. And God really is for us so much. And we just need to enjoy what God has given us to do. Enjoy this gift of Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Word. Enjoy the fellowship with Him. Then God goes to work, and the unexpected blessings will come to you. The open doors will come to you. The peace will be there for you. And you'll find favor in the sight of God and man. So I just want to encourage this before I go into my sharing. But before I even go in any further into my sharing, I just want to give you some praise reports. Just some little messages that I've received from people that has really blessed me. And I wanted to share because it's good to share what God is doing in our lives and how our lives are having an impact on others because we've allowed God to work in us and we're putting Him first and we're looking to be a blessing to God and a blessing to those around us. And this little message I got from a believer, and it says, "Today I ministered to two people who were suffering from cancer. I also ministered to a woman who was oppressed by devil spirits. She wept so much when I ministered to her. I harnessed my emotions and I ministered to her. Now God has worked in her, as well as a son who also confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and spoke in tongues. God bless me so much through you." You know, sometimes the reason why I read that, I don't want no glory, I want God to get all the glory, is that sometimes we may think that what we're doing isn't significant. It's, you know, we might feel that we're going through the motions or that people don't listen to what we got to say. But people are listening because people are searching for God. They're looking to grow and increase in their understanding and in their walk with God and in their fellowship. So it's good to share with other people what God's doing in your life. Even if you think it's insignificant, I can tell you now, God's word doesn't return void. And when it's living in your life and it's spoken from your mouth, it's going to affect those people around you. Here's another praise report. It says, God bless you, my dearest brother Lawrence, in the powerful, power-filled name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Saviour. I am encouraged by your admonishment to focus on what God is teaching me right now and to stick to that until I have made it my own. That is healing. I have been running about here and there with an unstable, doubled mind for quite some time, not knowing where I was, not knowing why I was not manifesting that which I know to be absolutely true. Our healing has been accomplished for us by his stripes laid on our Lord Jesus Christ. By his stripes we were healed. Okay, I have had this in my heart all of my life that I am called to heal. I have seen it in those I've ministered to, and I've seen it in my life. But I feel like I have been waylaid for the past few years. Listening to your teachings have opened my eyes and ears to God. God bless you, and thank you again for your heart of love for the body of Christ. I recognized it 12 years ago when I first came across your name and began hearing your sharings and teachings. One thing I am sure of, you love God, and your relationship with him and with our Lord Jesus Christ is real. I know this. I remain as he is. See, yeah, that's a witness. I mean, that's not only has this person got really blessed and encouraged and is a wonderful believer, but it's a witness of what God's doing in my life as well as what God's doing in her life because they're looking to God. Another message I got was, I listened to all the faith and confession teachings on the website and have been wanting to go back through them but haven't yet. So thankful for you covering this so in-depthly. It really has been so helpful. Why? Because it's a need in the body of Christ. That was from one believer. And another one says, God bless you, brother. Just wanted to say thank you for your encouraging words. My faith and trust in the Lord has grown tremendously and is getting stronger every day. Having to be around difficult people daily has been and is the one hindrance to me moving forward with the few things I want to have faith for. I do, however, look forward to the day that I can get to the place where I can have people of my choosing to be under the same roof with. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And all the best to you and yours, Lawrence. Love and appreciate you guys very much. Have a great evening. And another message I got from another believer says, these teachings have been so liberating. They are literally saving my life, healing a rare form of lung cancer. So this is some praise reports that I've received, and I just wanted to share them with you just to encourage you, whatever you're doing for God, just to keep doing it, just to keep looking to God, do the things that he's put into your heart, you know, make full proof of the things that you're learning, prove it in your life, prove it to others, and let God be that blessing in your life, and know that what you're learning is from God, you know. And then if it is from God, then you'll see results. You know, and God is really with you and he loves you. And what I'm going to do right now, we're getting to the teaching that I wanted to share with you, which has been on my heart, and the subject of it is healing. And so it's so important that we realize that, you know, confession and faith is what is going to help us to manifest what we need in our bodies if we have a need in our body. See, the power of sickness and disease has been broken off your life, and you are a new creation in Christ right now. Right, your whole body, soul, and spirit. And the Spirit of God is in you, and you have the power of God to enforce the healing that Christ has accomplished for you and through his finished works. See, you were made whole. You're delivered, and you're saved, and you're healed right now. Right now, you are completely healed. Right now, sin and sickness and disease has lost its power over you, and you are free from its bondage. See, you have been completely free, and we're to stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made us free. We're not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, anything that brings us into bondage, and from who we are truly in Christ and what has been accomplished for us, we break those things off with the Word of God, because it's already been broken off, and we enforce that through understanding what God says and by making that our confession and our practice. See, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto wholeness and completeness, and we need to say what God has accomplished for us and through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we just have to get it in our mind that, like, Satan is a liar and the father of lies. So when we get a symptom of sickness and a disease, they are lying symptoms, and we don't have to accept the symptoms, but we need to say what God says and what Christ has done for us. So if you get, like, a, you know, the beginnings of a headache, you know, just rebuke it. It's a symptom. Or you got a backache or a legache or whatever it may be, don't accept it, because it doesn't belong to you. It has no authority or jurisdiction in your life, because Christ has paid for that. In Galatians 3:13, it says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. See, we've been redeemed. We've been brought back from the curse of the law. We're not under that curse of the law anymore, because Christ paid everything. He took the beatings. He went through the sufferings. He took the stripes. He shed his blood. And he was the one that only lived that law perfectly. He was the only one that could fulfill these things. So we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Verse 14 says that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, through believing, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. See, the blessings of Abraham have already come to us. They're ours. And we receive the promise through the Spirit of faith. We believe the Word of God. So no one kept that law perfect except our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see this in 2 Corinthians 5:21, where God says, where Paul says, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. See, God made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. So in Christ, we are the righteousness of God. We are as righteous as God. We've been made that way. It's nothing that we've done. It's what Christ accomplished. And when we received him as our Lord and Saviour, we became the righteousness of God. It's just really powerful. So the curse of the law fell on Christ, okay, on our behalf, so that the righteousness of God could come to us, though we didn't deserve it. We really didn't deserve it. But God allowed this to happen so that we could receive everything and come into relationship and be reconciled back to him. So we're powerful people. God has enriched us. God has blessed us. We are already blessed. We are already healed. We're already delivered. And that becomes a reality as we understand what God's word says about it, and then we put that in our heart, and we take no other answer until that what God has written in his word about who we are now. And everything that we are now is written in the church epistles. So it's good to have our head and heart in the church epistles. We are complete in Christ, and our redemption is complete. See, Satan's authority over a believer is ended. And we base our believing not on our feelings or emotions, but on the accomplished and finished works of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we focus. We focus on God's promises to us. We focus on what Christ accomplished for us. We focus on these wonderful truths and realities. They are great spiritual realities which become manifest in our life when we just get the simplicity of the word living in our heart, when we make it our confession. I'd like you to go to Hebrews chapter 14, please. So Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And this word means confession, that we say the same thing that the word says about us. So let us hold fast to our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ went through all these temptations, The enemy probably tried to put stuff on him, but he knew who he was. He knew who his father was. He knew his standing with God. And we need to know our standing with God and what Christ has accomplished. And Jesus Christ was tempted in all things, like as we are, yet without sin. It says, let us therefore, because of this, come boldly unto the throne of grace or favor, that we may obtain or win mercy and find grace, God's favor, to help in the time of need. So we can go to God with great expectation. We can pray to God his promises. We can ask Father for the things that we need based upon the promises in his word, and God will give them to us. And then once we pray, we don't want to be then saying the opposite to what we've just prayed. We need to be praying and saying. So what we're praying, we're saying. We're not saying the opposite to what we've just prayed, according to God's word. We don't go away forgetting what we prayed for and what we're expecting. And we know that God hears our prayer. And because God hears our prayer, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. And so God is faithful. And God watches over his word to perform it. He won't let one of his word drop to the ground. God's magnified. He's put great emphasis on his word. And we need to know what it says to us and it says about us and what Christ has done for us. And when we start to understand these great truths, then we will certainly walk in power. We certainly walk in authority. And then we certainly be able to minister the power of God to others, knowing who we are in Christ, knowing that we can do the same works that Jesus Christ done and greater, knowing that as Jesus Christ is right now, so are we in this world. And I want to read you something that will bless you. And it's from F.F. Bosworth. And he says this in his book on Christ the Healer. And it really blessed me. So I just really want to share it with you and read it to you. So this is what F.F. Bosworth had to say. I am told to hold fast to the confession of the absolute integrity of the Bible. I am told to hold fast to the confession of the work of Christ in all its phases. I am told to hold fast to the confession that God is the strength of my life. I am told to hold fast to the confession that surely he hath borne my sicknesses and carried my diseases, and that by his stripes I am healed. God says this, and we are to believe and say the same things. We are to know what our rights are as revealed by the word, and then hold fast to the confession of those rights. When you know that Christ took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, hold fast to the confession of this truth. When you read, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world, hold fast to that confession. We are to hold fast our confession of what Christ has done for us in order that it may be done in us. We are to hold fast to the confession of our redemption from Satan's dominion. We are to hold fast to the confession in the face of all contrary to evidence. God declares that with his stripes we are healed. I am to confess what God says about my sickness, and I hold fast to this confession. I am to recognize the absolute trustworthiness and the truthworthiness of these words in advance of any visible changes. I am to act on these words and thank him for the fact that he laid my sickness on Christ, the same as he did my sins. Healing is always in response to faith's testimony. Some fail when things get difficult because they lose their confession. Disease, like sin, is defeated by our confession of the word. Make your lips do their duty. Fill them with the word. Make them say what God says about your sickness. Don't allow them to say anything contrary. Believing God's word with our heart implies our having put off the old man with his habits of judging by the evidence of the senses. Faith regards all contrary symptoms as lying vanities, as Jonas did, and put the word in the place of the senses. Our only problem is to keep in harmony with God's word and not allow the senses to usurp the place of the word. We cease to agree with doubting Thomas, who says, except I shall see, I will not believe. We are to prove Christ's own words. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. The word is lifeless until faith is breathed into it on your lips. Then it becomes a supernatural force. Make your lips harmonize with the word of God. Christ's high priestly ministry meets our every need from the moment of our new birth until we enter heaven. Why are we told to hold fast our confession? Because Christ is the high priest of our confession, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Because he is a great high priest, because he is a merciful high priest, because he is touched with the feelings of our infirmity, because he ever liveth to make intercession for us, he is always ready to give us grace to help in time of need. Our success is assured because Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Our success is assured. When you confess that by his stripes I am healed and hold on to your confession, no disease can stand before you. Just thank the Father and praise him. Whenever a need confronts you, that is covered by redemption, and it's yours. Faith is thanking God from the heart for healing that has not yet been manifested. We are as sure of this as it were manifested. The confession of your lips that has grown out of faith in your heart will absolutely defeat the adversary in every conflict. Christ's word broke the power of demons and healed the sick. They do the same thing today when we believe and confess them. The word will heal you if you continually confess it. God will make your body obey your confession of his word, for no word of God is void of power. Luke 1:37. If I dare say that Psalms 34:10 is true, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing, and stand by my confession, God will make good all I have confessed. Nothing will be established. Nothing will establish you and build your faith as quickly as confession. Confess it in your heart first. Confess it out loud in your room. Say it over and over again. Say it until your spirit and your words agree. Say it until your whole being swings into harmony and into line with the word of God. Christ's words are filled with himself, and as we act in them, they fill us with Christ. We are to obey the word as we would obey Christ if he stood visibly in our presence. Your success and usefulness in the world is going to be measured by your confession and by the tenacity with which you hold fast to that confession under all circumstances. God can be no bigger in you than you confess him to be in the face of every need. Confess that the Lord is your shepherd and that you do not want. So this really blessed me, and this is why I wanted to read it to you and share it with you. And this also really blessed me because of the faith and confession seminar we've also been teaching. We taught in Norway and is available on the blog. And if anyone wants the password to listen to what we taught in Norway, then just send me an email to lawrencetor@runbox.com and I'll send you the password. Because this faith and confession is so big. It's really what God tells us to do. And if we want to see the word come alive, we've got to give, it's got to be on our lips of believing. We got to give voice to the word of God. I also want to read you what T.L. Osborne writes on confession. He puts this, he says this. What is confession? Confession is saying with the mouth what one believes in the heart. Confession is agreeing with God in the heart, even to say what God says, to speak God's words, to use God's expressions and declarations to acknowledge God's words. Confession is faith's way of expressing itself into our testimony. Paul declared that he preached the word of faith, then told us that the word of faith must be in our hearts and in our mouth. In fact, the word of God is in our heart and in our mouth. He goes on to say, the only way to have the word of faith in our mouth is to talk the word of God. This is confession, making our lips agree with God, speaking God's word with our mouth, Romans 10:8. Revelations 12:11 says, tells us this, that those who overcame the devil did so by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The confessions of I am the Lord who heals you, and by his stripes I am healed, always precedes the manifestation of healing, just as the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour always precedes the experience of salvation. So again, it's the wonderful men of God that have now gone on and are asleep in Christ, waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, have really laid the groundwork in their teachings, and they've proved the word. They held fast to that which was good, and they proved the word. And see, the word works, and we've been also proving the word. And, you know, when I went to India, for example, I started to learn to speak the right things, to use my authority in Christ. I started seeing great healings and miracles take place through me and through those that I was with. And God is true to his word. When we hold to the standard of what God says, and we do what God puts in our heart, and we speak those things he also puts in our mouth, then we're going to see great things. And authority, again, is also released through the words that we speak. I want you to go to Proverbs, and I'm going to give you some confessions. So here are some confessions you can say out of your mouth based on God's word. So I thought this would bless you. It's a little bit different in the type of teachings I like to do. But again, I just think it's important that we can get an idea of what to say and how to confess. So we're going to look at some scriptures, and then I'll give you what I would say. And, you know, again, you make it your own. God will work with you what to say, and he's working you by his Spirit. It says in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Romans 8:14. "That as many as led by the Spirit of God, there are sons of God." See, God is working in you. God will give you the words. God will bring the word of God to your mind and to your remembrance. And your words will become seasoned with grace. And so that you may be able to convince the, you know, the gainsayers, the people that hear you, they can be turned to Christ because you've made that word your own. It's living in your heart. It's coming out of your mouth. It's living in your life. And people can see the light coming from you. And we have to remember that the entrance of God's word, it brings light. So in Proverbs 4:23, and we're going to also go to Proverbs 10:27, so you can get your Bible and quickly go there. In Proverbs 4:23 it says, "Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it, the heart, are the issues of life." Okay, Proverbs 10:27 says, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days." That's the respect of the Lord, prolongeth days. "But the year of the wicked shall be shortened." So you can confess around these scriptures like this. "I fear the Lord and I prolong my days." Or, "I respect the Lord and I prolong my days. I keep my heart with all diligence, for out of my heart flows the issues of life." So you can, again, God will show you what to say and how to say it. Proverbs 13:12 and Proverbs 14:27 says this, and Proverbs 14:30, we're going to read these. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred make the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." Proverbs 14:27 says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death." And Proverbs 14:30 says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of bones." And you can make your confession, "My desire is only of the Lord Jehovah, and it is a tree of life to me. I respect the Lord, and he is my fountain of life. I have a sound heart, and it is the life of my flesh." So we can say confessions like this, you see. And we're going to read Proverbs 17:22, Proverbs 18:20 and 21. And then I'll give you a confession of what you could say. But again, God works in you, and you can make it your own confession. In Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." And Proverbs 18:20 and 21 says, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." So you can say, "I have a merry heart, and it does me good like a medicine. My belly is satisfied by the fruit of my mouth, and with the increase of my lips I am filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, so I speak the life-giving words of God, and I receive life and health in my body." So that's another confession you can make based upon the word of God. based upon those promises. Acts chapter 10, verses 38 we'll look at next, and 1 John 3:8b we're going to look at. In Acts 10, 38 it says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." And 1 John 3:8b says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And then your confession could be along these lines: Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. These works were disease, sickness, and bodily infirmities. Therefore, all the works of the devil upon my body are destroyed, and I have perfect health in Jesus Christ. And then I'll give you one more that will bless you. Just bear with me. Let's get there. And it's Romans 8, verses 1 and verses 2. And it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." So your confession could be, "I am free from condemnation that came into this world through the fall of Adam and Eve. I am no longer separated from God. I am no longer under condemnation of sickness, disease, lack or poverty. For the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death, which rules the unbelievers." Because if you're not born again, then the people that are not born again are under that law of sin and death. We're not under the condemnation. Condemnation came in through the fall of Adam and Eve. So when we start to understand this, when we got a depth of the word in our heart, when we understand what happened in the garden, then, you know, the word's living in us, and God just brings it to our mind what to say, what to confess, and we can start to put the pieces together. God does that for us, and he gives us wisdom. He gives us wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've got to go to the word also. Because to get a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is recorded in the scriptures for us to go to and see. So God wants you to know what his word says. And God wants you also to know that he's working in you by the Spirit. He's a living God. He's the creator of the heaven and the earth. He's communicating with you today. He's speaking today to you, not just through his word, but via the Spirit of God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we have confidence in God, not the flesh, not in anything but our Father. And what he says to us through his written word, and what he's working in our hearts to say, because he gives us good words to speak, and we declare them out of our mouth. Let's go to Mark 11, 23 and 24. And it says in verse 23 of Mark 11, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," or problem, "Be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." See the importance of your confession. It's important what you believe in your heart. What's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. So if you want to say God's word, if you want to know what his word says, then you need to declare his word out of your mouth. Verse 24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." So you can confess like this: "I believe that all those things I say shall come to pass. All things which I desire when I pray, I believe that I've received them, and I have them." So that's a great confession. You can, again, God will show you and works in you the way he works in you. This is how he works in me. Galatians chapter 2, verses 20, and Colossians 1:27, and Hebrews 12:2, and Matthew 10:1, and Mark 16. We'll read these. And it says in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Colossians 1:27 says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's a great record here. Matthew 10:1 says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Mark 16:18 says, "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So it's another way of ministering healing. Wonderful. You know, we can lay hands on the sick and they're going to absolutely recover. So you can make those scriptures there, put them together, and you can say this: "I have the faith of Jesus Christ in me, for Christ is in me, and he is the author and finisher of my faith. I speak unto the mountain of sickness and disease, and they obey my words and leave. I have authority and power over all diseases and sicknesses. I command them to leave, and they obey my words. I lay my hands on the sick, and they recover." So you can see, as we stay our focus on God and the truth of what Christ has accomplished and who we are, and we say what God says, we will begin to see and manifest all the promises that are ours in Christ. Everything that Christ has accomplished can become manifest in our life. Romans chapter 8, I want to finish off here, is a wonderful record in Romans. And Romans is a good place to put your head and heart. And in verse 5 it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded," five sense thinking, "is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Why? Because we've activated the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We're walking in the power of God. We're manifesting his power. We're speaking in accordance to the word of God. Our word is speech is word orientated. Verse 7 says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity," or is an enemy against God, "for it's not subject to the law of God," the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, "neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." It's impossible to please God when you're walking in the old man nature, when you're talking in the old man nature. Verse 9 says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." You are in the Spirit, guys. You've got the Spirit of God dwelling in you. This is what this verse is saying. "Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Verse 11, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you," which it does, "he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit, that dwelleth in you." Verse 12, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die." Why? Because you've activated the law of the Spirit of life, though you've activated the law of sin and death. "But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear," you've been set free, "but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." See, we haven't got a spirit of servitude. We're not a servant. We don't have to keep rules and regulations to be a son, because we're already sons and daughters of God. Verse 17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffered with him, that we may be also glorified together." So we are glorified together with Christ. So healing is already a spiritual reality through what Christ has accomplished. And our confession for that healing, along with believing what was done for us, brings about that healing, as well as authority when we use the name of Jesus Christ. It is very simple. We have faith in God's word, and we see healing is already done, and we confess and we act accordingly. See, God has made it very simple. We do not need to complicate it. Don't complicate what God has made simple. Very simple. So in the era of healing, we need to understand faith and the confession of our faith. We also need to understand that Christ has already accomplished our healing. It's already a done deal. Then those that require healing need to expect to see the manifestation of that healing they need. Hebrews 11:1, verse 6, you can read yourself. So we keep it simple like God made it simple. So hold fast to what the Word of God says. Let your words be the words of grace, the words of God coming out of your mouth, because you put it in your heart. You understand who you are in Christ. You understand what Christ has accomplished. You understand that you're righteous, you're justified, you're sanctified, redeemed. You understand that you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You stand in the presence of the Almighty God, and you have authority to minister to others as well as receive and manifest your own healing. So I hope this has encouraged you. God bless you, and look forward to sharing with you next week. God bless you.